Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out here this morning, and good to have those that have been on vacation back with us, and our pastor, and thankful for all the visitors. We're just blessed, aren't we?
Sure.
And it's been a good place to be already. I'm thankful for it. We're looking in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read the first couple verses there and just try to get back up to where we left off. 1 John chapter 3. Y'all hear me okay? It's loud up here. All right. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so as we look here in these first couple verses, I've labeled these first two verses our designation, and that is that we are the sons of God. But the first thing that we looked at there was he said, behold, what manner of love. And that was the nature of his love and how good that his love is. And then he says that he's bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So not only the nature of his love, but how that we're named as his children. And just what a privilege that is to be called a child of God. And we saw a noted similarity that therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We're not going to be like the world. The world's not going to like us. And we might as well just expect that and just be happy to be found in him. But last week, we looked here at the first part of verse 2, where he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And so I see that, thankfully, we are now sons. Right. If we're born again, it's not something that we're waiting on for the future, but now, present tense, you and I can just rest in the fact that we are the sons or daughters of God.
Right.
And man, what a blessing. There's no better blessing, no better higher calling than to be called a son of God.
Sure.
And I don't always feel like I'm a son. Everybody understand that? Jerry, I don't always wake up every morning. But I like it sometimes when I get to talking to the Lord and he just reminds me and just says, hey, son, you are still mine. And I appreciate when he communes with me as a son. And I appreciate how he loves me and how he chastens me at times and how he helps me and just leads me along. And I appreciate the fact that I am now a son. But as we continue on here in that next phrase, he says in verse 2, he says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So I want you to see that there's some not yets. There's some things that we cannot see while we're at home in this body right now. It doth not yet appear. So 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. Now we can apply that in many different ways in this world. There's just certain things, Kevin, that we can't see them as they really are. We can only see them as they are in our eyes. And you know, I'm always reminded that verse over there in Hebrews that we can't see Christ really in his place where he really is right now. You know, he's expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, the Bible teaches. But when we look around, we see the world is rampant. But it's a hope and something that we have on the inside that we know that is going to come to pass.
That's right.
And we just can't see it for what it really is just yet. We're bound in these bodies, as we'll see here in just a little bit. But it says that, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So here's what's funny, is that he just got through saying that we are now sons. Now, present tense. But even though we're now sons, there's some things that are still yet to come. In other words, we're not hardly complete yet.
Right.
Now, in God's eyes, it's already a done deal, as we'll see here in just a little bit. But from our side, there's still more yet to come.
Oh, yes.
And that's the hope that we have. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're looking at some not this thing that he's talking about that's not yet. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 1. And this is the Apostle Paul writing once again. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," he's talking about his physical body, "if it were to be dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You understand that? It's already there.
Right.
We have it.
Yep.
"For in this we groan." That word groan means that we sorrow, we pain, we are oppressed in this body. We're held captive to our own self. "We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Nobody that's naked spiritually is going to be clothed with what he's talking about.
Sure.
So we go to verse 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." There's that word again. "Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest," there's that word we talked about last week, "the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident." Notice that, he's confident. He knows that he's now a son. "Knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So as while we're here, we can't see everything like it really is. We're absent. There's a space, even though we've got the earnest of the Spirit down on the inside, it's not yet what it's going to be.
Right.
He says, "For we walk now, we walk by faith,"
right,
"not by sight." You see, Gavin, here we have to walk by faith. We can't see what God sees. We just have to trust Him at His Word. We don't walk by sight. You get in trouble when you try to walk a Christian life by what you see.
Right.
Because if you start looking at Nathaniel, the things that what it looks like, didn't look like Rod would make it this far. But we don't walk by sight. What we walk by is we walk by faith. We just believe and trust God to do what He said He would do. And we walk by faith, not by sight. He says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." He understood that there would be a day that he was going to leave this body behind, and he's going to be with the Lord. And we have that same hope. And for those of them that believe in soul sleep, whatever, Paul makes it real clear right here that's not the case.
Right.
As soon as he's absent from the body, he knows he's in the presence of the Lord. So mark that in your Bible if you're not familiar with that. But so we have a not yet, that we're not what we're going to be. And for those of us that are Christians, we understand the warfare and the troubles that we have in these bodies. It is a constant battle to try to keep ourselves in subjection. And for anybody trying to walk and please the Lord, we look forward to the day we can lay this down.
Oh, yes.
We are longing to put down that fight and to go be with Christ. And, you know, we say all the time, Paul said that it was far better. It'd be far better to depart and be with Christ. But we're not there yet, but we're going to be one day. Romans chapter 8, he says it this way, verse 18, real familiar passage. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See, that's a future thing. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." What's he talking about? It's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know what the word manifestation means? Brought to light.
Right.
Made clear. You see right now, as we said, we're looking through a glass darkly. Even ourselves have a hard time seeing ourselves as children of God. But there's going to be a day that what we really are is going to be manifest. And that works both ways. If you're saved, if you're lost, it's going to be brought to light what you really are. And but for those of us that are saved, we're looking forward to the day. Brother Rick, we get to see ourselves for what we really are.
Sure.
And I don't even know how to understand that or explain it, but I just believe what the Word of God says. We're waiting for the day when we're manifest. and it's going to be brought to pass. And so we're looking forward to that. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You notice how he worded that? That we are in bondage.
Right.
In the bondage of corruption. What he's talking about is this flesh that we are dealing with. We are in bondage. We are, right now, I can't get away from it. There's no escape right now, Dustin. I'm stuck where I'm at until the time either he calls me out of here by death or by departure. One of those two ways, and that'll be my separation from this body. But Steve, until then, guess what? Even though my spirit on the inside has been freed, guess what? My flesh is still in bondage. I've got a new nature, and I still got an old nature. And man, that gets people so messed up sometimes, but if you understand that, it's a whole lot easier to understand what the Scripture is teaching. But he says in verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth." Uses that word again, over and over in Scripture, he uses that to define what it's like being held captive where we're at. "And travaileth in pain." Even the world itself under the curse is travailing. That's a word that we use as a woman that is trying to deliver a baby. That's the word that he's using here. It is in pain under the curse of sin. And one of these days we're going to lay that down. "But groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." So we're waiting for that day when we get out of this body. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Once again, just another way of saying we walk by faith, not by sight. "For what a man seeth, why doth yet he hope for?" If we could see what we're going to be, we wouldn't have no need to hope for it.
Right.
But the problem is we can't see it. So now it is a hope that lies within us that we're going to lay this thing aside one day. And he says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
Yep.
So you know what we're doing today? We're just waiting till our change comes. That's what we're waiting. So we have a not yet, but it's as good as done. It's just we don't know when. It's not a question of if, Kevin.
That's right.
I'm not wondering if I'm going to be changed. I'm not wondering if I'm going to see him. I'm just wondering, is it going to be before I get out of here by death or not? And I'm hoping that I get to be one of those that gets to see him coming. And that I'm not already in the grave. But if I'm in the grave, you know what I'll be doing then? I'll just come with him. And that's right, my body will rise first. And there's going to be a change that occurs. And that'll be a glorious day, won't it? But we can look forward to that. But it's just not yet, folks. And look down in verse 29, verse 30 there of chapter 8. It says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son." As we said last week, it's something that is a done deal. It's already settled in the mind of God that we should be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now it always just, I love it that every time I read this, it comes to the end of that verse. And I realize that my calling to Christ was a past tense, and my justification now is a past tense, right? But he talks as though my glorification is past tense as well.
That's right.
And why do you reckon that is? Because there's no chance that if you've been called and justified that you're not going to be glorified.
Right.
It's already a done deal. And in God's eyes, it's done. It is done. You are as complete in Christ Jesus as you will ever be. But in this flesh, and in the world that we live in, and in this glass that we look through darkly, and in the bondage of this tabernacle that we are now in, we still are awaiting that change to happen. See, he said over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that we had been raised up together, and he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, there's part of me that's already there, and one of the phrases or things that I've heard out of Kevin that I love and I've never forgot, and I don't know where he got it, but he says, when I get where I already am. See, we're already there.
Yep.
Where our citizenship is already in heaven.
That's right.
But yet, our bodies are still here. But I'm just as anchored over there as I'm ever going to be. But I'm still stuck here in this body. I don't know how that all works, but that's the way it is. And he said over in the book of, I think, Philippians, yeah, chapter 3, verse 20,
oh, yeah.
He says that our conversation is where?
Heaven.
It's in heaven.
Better believe it.
My life is not here. My life is hid with Christ in God. I don't understand how all that works. All I know is that I like it and that it's a longing that I have that one of these days we're going to get to be with Him and be like Him, and we're going to enjoy His presence throughout eternity. And so we have a not yet. Just wait. If you're saved, you're already there. If you're not saved, you can be. You can be. And you can experience this promise and this precious truth that we have. So then he goes on here in 1 John chapter number 3 in verse 2. So we saw the not yet, but then he lists several no doubts. He says, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. There's some things that we don't, there's no question that it's going to happen that way, Jesse. We know without a doubt, that's our assurance. He says, when he shall appear, that's his appearing, and we shall be like him. That's our alignment with who he is. We're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. But Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Doug, he shall appear. There's going to be a day that we will see him. And we sit here quietly. Ain't that amazing?
Oh, brother.
And I'm saying we. We sit here quietly, knowing that today could be the day that we lay our eyes on Christ. But yet we sit reserved and quiet, as though
you're
we
right.
Have no hope.
Yep.
But we've got a blessed hope.
Oh, yeah.
Colossians 3:4, it says, when Christ, who is our life,
yes, sir.
You see, our life is in Christ, and where is Christ? He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God.
Yep.
See, my life's in Christ, in heaven, with God. But there's going to be a day that he's coming back here.
Right.
And he's getting me, and I'm going with him. And if you're saved, you get to do the same. But he's not appeared yet to us, other than through the Spirit of God. But there's going to be a day we're going to get to lay eyes on him. Peter said it, or Colossians 3:4, Paul said it this way, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear. You know, it's not a question of if, as I've already said. It's a question of when. And in 1 John chapter 2, back in verse 28, he said, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed
That's
before him
right.
at his coming. And Dustin, I mean, the Scripture is plain. It's when he shall appear. It's at his appearing.
Yep.
Folks, he is going to come.
Hey.
And he that shall come will come and will not tarry.
That's right.
The Bible's plain. He is coming. And the question is, are you looking for him? So it's not a question of will he appear. It's when he shall appear. But he also says, he says that we shall be like him. Look with me. I've already mentioned Philippians chapter 3, I want to read that verse that I mentioned a minute ago, Philippians 3, verse 20, verse 21. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." And you say, well, there's no way I'll ever be good enough to get there. Well, according to this, He can subdue all things unto Himself. You can't do it in yourself, but He's the one that makes the change.
Oh, yeah.
And He says that He will do it. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. I don't know what that body's going to be like, but it's going to be a perfect one.
Hey.
It's going to be a perfect one. And, you know, one of our favorite passages that talks about this over in 1 Corinthians 15. You can't mention these things without going there. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, the Bible says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual." Or afterward, that which is spiritual. "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are all they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy," that's talking about our physical body, "we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." We shall.
That's right.
It's going to happen.
Oh, yes.
And now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, here, this is important to know, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
See, it can't happen. Yeah, that's why we're still here, not there. We can't get there in these bodies. "Cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." It just don't happen. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed."
Right.
You notice all these shalls? If there's anything that's sure in Scripture, it's these things that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a shall. That means it's guaranteed to come to pass. We just can't see it yet. For this corruption must be put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And I never like to read this without
right.
verse 58.
Yeah.
Therefore,
that's
because
right.
of this promise that we
all
have,
yeah.
because of this, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Right.
Folks, because of the promises and the shalls and the hope that we have, we should be steadfast, unmovable. There should be no chance of us turning away from the things of God. We should be settled where we're at, doing what we're to be doing, knowing that He could come back today.
That's right.
See, that's the whole point of this. We just read it over in 1 John 2:28, that we not be ashamed at His coming. See, we're supposed to be about His business. We're supposed to be doing the things that we know to do,
oh, yeah.
so that when He comes, we can be looking forward to that day and not dreading it. So it's, once again, not a question of if, but it's just a question of when. Just when is it going to happen? And so lastly, as we come to the last part of the verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "For we shall see Him as He is."
Yep.
So now we have a nearing revelation. Folks, that That's coming. I mean, just any day. I don't know when that's going to be. But that's soon to come to pass. And that's all I know to tell you. I can't tell you when. But I can tell you that now it's closer than when we believed.
Oh, yes.
That's the way Paul said it. He said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. All I know is that every breath, every second, every hour, it just draws us a little bit closer to His coming.
Right.
Then you might say, well, I'm getting old. Well, that just means you're getting nearer to Him. I mean, really, that's it. We don't have hope in this life. I mean, we have hope in the one to come. You see, I hope that you're not thinking that you're going to keep this body around forever. He plainly told us it is corruption. It's a mortal body. It's corrupt. And you know what happens to things that are corrupt? They decay. They rot. They're going down. They're not going up. But see, if you've got that incorruptible seed down on the inside, then there's something down on the inside that's going to live forever.
That's right.
And if you don't, then you're going to die forever. Mm-hmm. That's the second death. The Bible speaks of.
Yep.
But if you're saved, we shall see Him as He is. And the truth of the matter is, everybody, whether saved or lost, is going to see Him as He is. And I'll read that to you in just a second. But this ought to be the deepest desire of every believer is to lay eyes on the Savior and to actually get to be with Him. And that is our hope. You see, my hope's not a street of gold. It's not walls of jasper, gates of pearl. It's not a mansion over the hilltop. None of those things. I'm thankful for it. And I like to read the last couple chapters of Revelation and see the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, as Peter said. And I like to see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. I love that. I like to think, man, there's no need of the sun because the Lord's the light. All those things. There's no tabernacle there. We won't have to meet like this. We'll just be meeting all the time. Because we'll be in His presence. But I love all that. But really? That's when I think of the hope that I have, it's really in none of those things. I don't know how to explain that. You know, I used to think all them songs about heaven were wonderful. And they are. But the more I learn about Christ and what He did, my longing is not to see any of those things. Those are just side benefits to the fact that we're going to see the one who laid His life down for you and me. And I don't know about you, but the night that I got saved, I had no thought of heaven.
Right.
I mean, really, I wasn't thinking about none of those things. But what I was thinking about was how I had offended a holy God.
Yes.
And that I was headed for hell because of that offense.
Amen.
And that my only escape was through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it was through His shed blood at Calvary. And that's what I'm looking forward to one day.
Yes.
Is that one day I'm going to see Him as He is. You see, even in my faith, as just a child trusting Christ, I still could not see Him as He is, but there's going to be a day that for the first time, the wool's going to be rolled back from my eyes, and I'm going to be able to lay eyes on Him and understand who He really is. And I'm going to have a clear picture of what He really did for me. And as much as I want to right now, we can't get it. We just can't get it right now in these bodies. I believe with all my heart, you know, beyond all those things that when we see Him and we get that new body and we have perfect understanding that we're going to be in such awe that we're not going to do anything except for just sit there and be in awe of Him and what He did for us. Christ is going to be bigger then than he's ever been to us here.
That's right.
And we're going to see him as he is. And so that ought to be the deepest longing. And we've got it on the back wall back there. Sir, we would see Jesus. That ought to be our desire. I mean, I want to see him by faith here. But there, I'm going to see him with eyes.
Right.
And John 12:21 speaks of that. And
yep.
And but we will see in Philippians 1:23, Paul said, "For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." You see, Paul did see him. He saw him on the road to Damascus one day. And from the day that he saw him there, that was his longing till the end of his days. And I think it grew every day, that longing to see Christ. He got a glimpse of something that day that changed him in such a way that it literally changed the course of his eternity. And he knew it. And God revealed to him all these precious truths and promises. And as he approached the end of his days, all he was looking for was to be with Christ. And that ought to be the life and the testimony of every one of us here today. And if every day does not bring you a greater longing to be with him, a greater longing to lay eyes on him, then we're probably doing something wrong. We need to be helping. We need to be working on that relationship and that love that we have for him. But it is our blessed hope that we have. But I realize that this verse here that I'm about to read is not about the rapture. But Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." See, there's going to be a day that whether you're saved or lost, everybody's lumped into that category.
Yeah.
Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. They're going to see him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That's what the Bible says. You see, for us that are saved, it's a day we can look forward to and we long for when we see him come for the church, his appearing. We get to go with him. But after the tribulation and Christ comes this way and every eye beholds him, it's not going to be good.
Right.
It's not going to be good at that time. But Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Amen. John said, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." He was looking forward to that day. And I've already quoted Hebrews 10:37, "Yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry." I probably like the way that Job said it, "as good as anybody." And I'll read that, Job chapter 19. Hopefully you know where I'm going.
Yes, sir.
We're about done, folks. Job 19, verse 25. Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Don't you find it neat that his body's going to be gone?
Right.
He says, "after my skin worms destroy this body." But he understood that there was going to be a new one. He said that in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and not and mine eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You see, in the middle of everything he was going through, we're right in the middle of the book of Job right here. And he's in the midst of troubles. He's lost everything. Every hope that he had in this world was gone. He had nothing. And yet, somehow in the midst of that, he just could look up to heaven and just say, "I know in spite of everything that's going on in my life, I know my Redeemer lives. And I'm going to see him. And I'm going to see him for myself." And what a hope that he had. He didn't have hope in this life. His hope was in a life to come.
That's right.
And you and I can have that hope today. So I've never laid eyes on the Savior, but as the song says, one day I will. One day I will. And we're going to be changed forever, you understand, by one glimpse of the Savior. If a glimpse of him by faith can make a new creature out of somebody, can you imagine what seeing him face to face is going to do to us?
What about that?
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, just by faith, Kevin, our destiny was changed, our nature was changed. But then when we see him face to face, everything's going to pass away, and it'll just be Christ. Just be Christ forever for those of us that are saved. And Kevin's read this before here, but Fanny Crosby said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, that it would be that I should be born blind?" She asked that question to a fella one time. She said, if I could ask one thing from my Creator, and she was blind, by the way, but she said, I wouldn't change it. And it was a minister she was talking to, and he said, why? Why would you say that?
Oh yeah.
And her response was this: because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight, I love that, will be that of my Savior.
Yep.
Ain't that good?
Yep.
Man alive, how good is that? That makes me so happy. But the question is today, do you have hope of seeing him at his appearing? When he comes for the church, do you have that blessed hope? Is it a blessed hope to you? Hebrews 9:28 says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many." And he says, "And unto them that look for him." You see the difference? Before he said every eye. But here he says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You see, we're looking for that appearing when he comes to complete our salvation. When we become complete in Christ, we get our new body and we're changed forever. See, there's a difference. There's a distinct difference in these two comings that we see. You see, he's coming for the church here. See, only the saved are looking forward to this day. But everyone else is going to see him, as we read in Revelation 1:7. I'm going to read that again. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him." You see the vast difference? See, one group that we see sees his appearing, they're looking for him. And they're longing for that day. But the other ones, the one that's that general view of Christ that everybody's going to get, it says they'll wail because of him. See, the Christians will not wail when he comes.
Nope.
We're going to be enjoying it. We're going to receive the end of our salvation. But the rest of the world don't have that hope. And Revelation chapter number 19 talks about that time. Revelation 19, down in verse number 11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." So this is after the tribulation. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." That's you and I. We're going to be following him. "And clothed in a fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." This is not the marriage supper he's talking about. He says that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Folks, if you miss the first appearing, you've waited too late. You're going to believe a lie. You're going to receive a strong delusion. It says you're going to believe a lie and be damned.
That's right.
There's no hope. If you've heard the gospel today, you're going to be, if you make it to the end of the tribulation, you receive the mark of the beast, all those things, you're going to be there this day if you make it that long. And it's not going to go well for you.
Nope.
And then it goes on. The scripture talks about the second death. It talks about the white throne judgment for those that are not saved. Them that he looks at and he says, never knew you. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that's after that judgment.
Yep.
There's no hope. There's no hope for the unbeliever apart from Christ right now. That is our only hope. And after all that, we get to read about all the good stuff that the rest of us get to enjoy throughout eternity. Folks, it's a reality. It is a reality. We act like it's not. But Christ's return and His appearing are a soon coming reality.
Yes.
And we best get ready right now for it. Because it could happen any day. It could happen in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Right? I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning. And I know that ended real serious. But folks, you're going to see Him one way or the other.
Right.
And you best be ready.
Ready.
So we'll have prayer for everyone that wants to pray. I appreciate everybody being here this morning.